If you're listening to this podcast, there's a really high chance that you are also interested in cookbooks. So I wanted to let you guys know that my cookbook, Elevated Everyday Paleo, is officially out wherever you get your books from. It's a collection of recipes that I believe make everyday cooking just a bit more special, and I hope it reminds you that there's art in so many little moments of life. You can grab it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookseller. Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to Manual Mode. It's been a little while. I've missed you guys. I have not missed recording. I think I really needed that break. I didn't really take a full break from work for the holidays. There was just too much zone of genius work that came my way, and when something is just really aligned with me creatively, it's something that I say yes to. So for the sake of feeling some semblance of holiday spirit, just taking some time off from recording at least to have, you know, just a little less on my work plate was really good. But I'm excited about the new year and all of the things that I'm hoping to share with you and all the new topics that I want to discuss. And all of the new guests that I want to have on as well. And I'm excited to learn and grow and also learn what you guys are wanting to hear and just kind of all learning and growing together in this whole creative entrepreneurial journey, for lack of a better word, that we're on together here. So I missed you. I'm happy to be back. And I'm just really looking forward to what's next. So today I am doing a bit of a solo episode, and that is because I have been doing a lot of thinking, and the new year tends to bring up a lot of thoughts about what happened last year and what you want to see happen this next year and your personal direction. And I have really been struggling to decide where I'm wanting to go in the new year, because last year was such a big year with writing my book and starting a podcast and just really getting settled in New York and all of the different things that happened, all the different people that I shot for. It was like this moon landing, and I have just been trying to figure out, like, what on earth do you go to after the moon? Which isn't to say, like, I'm very aware that there are a lot of things that I can grow in, and there are a lot of ways in which I'm still a novice and just very new at all of this, but it was just so much more than what I had even thought was possible. Growing up, I always had really big dreams and wanted to do so many big things, but just didn't have a lot of examples in my life of those things being possible, and to the extent that they were even possible. So I have been just a little overwhelmed trying to figure out where do I even go from here. And I am a big fan of goal setting and having concrete goals, so I have been doing that to the extent that I can with what I know that I want to be aiming for. But I think sometimes it's okay to not totally know what's next for you, but having a consistent practice and things to keep you creating momentum as you work towards your next venture is kind of the best way to keep yourself growing and inspired, and to, quite frankly, keep you from feeling like you've lost your purpose. So for the meantime, I have made one of my big goals for the next year to be the best creative that I can be. And I've come up with some measurable ways of doing that, some habits and routines that I want myself to stick with because they have helped me whenever I have tried them in the past to stay creative and inspired. And I know that if I really stick them consistently, good things will come and I will find what's next for me, and I will also just be doing better creative work. So today I wanted to take some time just to talk about things that I am planning for in the new year to help me be the best creative and the best human that I can be. And maybe these will be helpful for you too. So with that, I've been thinking a lot specifically about how to protect and grow creativity and use it to its advantage to create really special work. And while I believe we all have creativity in us, and I believe that creativity is a choice, it's not just this magical thing. It comes when you work at it, it's a muscle. But I also know that you can't just like tell yourself to be creative and stare at a wall and you'll have great ideas. It's something where you have to exercise it and nudge it, and just make a conscious effort to keep working at being creative. It requires work and it requires rest, just like any other muscle. And like we know with muscles and working out, it requires discipline. So kind of a bonus note before I get into my list here is that I am really finding that phones are the enemy of discipline. And yes, there are a lot of great ways that you can use them to stay disciplined, but for us creative entrepreneurs, I think that things like Instagram, for example, are the enemy of creative discipline. They stifle our creativity and they turn us into distracted consumers. And apps like Instagram win when you are a distracted consumer, which means that you, someone who's trying to be a creative contributor, you lose every time the app steals your attention. So while this episode isn't phone-centric, I wanted to at least touch a little bit on this, and I'll go a little later into how I'm changing up the types of media that I consume, but one big thing that I have been doing that has been really beneficial has been to put really strict parental controls on my own phone around screen time with Instagram, and also even just to remove it from my phone entirely. And it's kind of a necessary evil as a creative to be posting on there and, you know, checking it and connecting with people and networking. But I don't go on there unless I have to for something, and then I just remove it from my phone. And I also mute pretty much everyone so that if I am on there, I am just doing what I need to do and I am authentically and consciously connecting with the people that I choose to connect with in a meaningful way. But I am not mindlessly scrolling. And it's amazing how much more time you have, even when you thought that you didn't spend a lot of time on social media. It's amazing how much more time you have in your day when you no longer have that there to constantly break up your day into these little bits. And that's what phones do. They prevent us from having a long length of time to get into deep, meaningful work because our life is so fragmented by notifications and the need to check social media all of the time. You can't do anything of value and of meaning when you aren't even focusing on something for long enough time to get into like a flow state around it. So removing Instagram from my phone, really making a conscious effort to let myself have longer periods of time without distraction. These are big things that I have found in the past couple months have helped me to have some of my best ideas yet for my work, and are definitely things that I will be carrying into 2022 and beyond, because I don't think there's any world in which I would go back to the less structured way in which I used to use social media now that I see how much healthier and more inspired I am with these boundaries. So Without further ado, I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll be diving into my list of ways that I am structuring my time and my day and my routine to cultivate creativity in 2022. Manual Mode is brought to you by the 411 email newsletter. It's my very own email newsletter sent from me to your inbox every other week and curated specifically to be email that you don't hate. It's just four useful links, one podcast recommendation, and one thought that I have been thinking over that's been making me a better creative and a better human. It's specifically designed to help you do better work, and you can subscribe anytime at mariahbrook.com/newsletter. Okay, so one thing that I have been thinking about when it comes to making this list of my priorities for the next year is the idea that true freedom isn't about just doing what we want minute to minute. It's really about having the self-awareness and the purpose to know who you are, what you believe in, what your purpose is, and then doing that thing. So it's not just giving in to your every whim or not being tied to anything. It's about having goals and a purpose and having the ability to live in that purpose and go after those things that you know that you're supposed to be doing. So when I'm thinking about how to use my time more meaningfully, I am not thinking about it in the way that I want my time to totally just be at my own disposal. I'm thinking about how my time can be used in a way that helps me to be fulfilling my purpose the most and contributing in a way that is special and authentic to me. So we talk a lot about, in the entrepreneurial world, time being our most valuable resource, but I think it's even more important to really know what a fulfilling use of your time is, so that we're making the most of the time that we do have. So here is my list of what I'm focusing on this year. One is long walks with no distractions. I love a podcast, of course. I listen and subscribe to many, many business and entrepreneurial and self-improvement podcasts. I am obsessed with them. I credit them to a lot of the self-improvements that I made when I was 19 that helped me to become the entrepreneur that I am today. And they set me on a course that I don't know that I would have gone down if I hadn't been introduced to those people who gave me those ideas to travel and to think bigger and to aim higher than what I was seeing in my immediate surroundings. They allowed me to surround myself with high achievers when I wasn't physically close to a lot of high achievers. So I am all about podcasts and really, I'm still keeping them a big part of my life. But I think that one of the most difficult yet important things to be able to do is to be able to sit in silence with yourself and truly understand your own thought process and ideas, and to not be running from your own thoughts, to not be avoiding your own thoughts. I think that having good chunks of time with space for yourself just to be thinking is really great for cultivating creativity and self-awareness and problem solving. And every once in a while, when I'm sitting with myself, I will get into a loop and I can't get myself out of it. So something that I am worried about and just keep thinking through that loop. But when that is happening, my impulse used to be to turn on my phone and scroll through Instagram or whatever to break the loop. But now, when that happens, I try to instead consciously think about why my brain is in this loop, why I'm worrying in circles about this one thing, and consciously move myself out of that loop and give myself something else to think about. It's just helped me to have more mental strength and to have a little more self-awareness, and also has just given me more self-control over my own mind and my thoughts, which is really helpful when you're mad, when you're stressed, when things aren't going your way. Having the ability to talk your own self off a ledge in your mind, or just have a little more control over your thought processes and the way that you think and act on different things is really beneficial. And I think as a creative, especially, having that slack in the day and the space for creative thoughts and the ability to be consciously forcing yourself to think deeper about creative ideas is really important. So I am giving myself a lot of slack and a lot of space in my day and in my life to be thinking without distractions. And I've found that to be really helpful so far with coming up with new ideas and being a better mentor for my mastermind students and just being a better listener as well to others, because my brain is a little more organized. I've already, when I'm able to be more present in conversations because I've already kind of quieted my own thoughts and given myself space to be thinking through some of those things. So that's a big one. Another is reading more fiction and nonfiction. Last year was a really big nonfiction year for me. I read a lot of great nonfiction books, but I'm also wanting to tie more fiction into my life in this next year. I think that there's a lot to be learned from fictional characters. So I just started Daisy Jones and the Six. Not my favorite so far, but it's at least getting me moving in the fiction world. I'm also reading The Messy Middle by Scott Belsky, who founded Behance. I just finished Shoe Dog, which is Phil Knight's story of founding Nike, one of my favorite books that I've read. And then I'm also rereading some Seth Godin. I realize I said fiction and I'm listing a bunch of nonfiction, but I'm going to get into all of that, I promise. But I'm easing myself in with Daisy Jones. But anyways, also listening to or reading a lot of Seth Godin again. The more that I talk with other creatives and with my mastermind students, I just find it really helpful to have Seth's voice in the back of my mind. I feel like I'm able to give better sound advice that is easy to understand because he's very good at just giving straightforward, succinct thoughts that are really boiled down to the most simple way to describe them in a way that also is maybe slightly different from a way you've ever heard before, and in a way that you just really can remember and implement in your life. So reading a lot of Seth, and another book, it's another nonfiction, but The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. It's a very old book, pre-phone, social media, all that stuff, but a really good way to look at marketing and how to be effective in marketing. So I am also rereading that just to keep my brain on the marketing front as I work on coming up with what my new ideas are for myself. And I'm also trying to be really good about note-taking with all of this. There is a tool called Notion, which I have several tabs in. I organize a whole bunch of stuff in there. I make all my mastermind students use it as well to organize all their business ideas and creative thoughts and everything. So I have some tabs in there for keeping specific notes about books. And then because I'm not a big Kindle person, and I understand that the big advantage to using Kindle is the highlighting features, but I'm a paperback person. I want to be physically with pen and paper taking notes in the margins of a book. So I also have a tab in Notion, and once I'm about a quarter of a way through a book, I'll just kind of thumb through, and any notes that were especially meaningful to me, I'll just write those out in Notion. And yes, it's a little more labor intensive than just highlighting something when you read it and then having it there digitally to go back to, but I find that the practice of reviewing that material helps me remember even more. So yes, it's a little bit of a school assignment type structure, but it's working for me and it's helping me to just spend more time with what I'm learning in the books. And having less social media time is also giving me more time to be reading. So it's all working out. And the third thing that I'm doing is changing up my media. So I talked about less Instagram, and I'm giving myself more time on LinkedIn and Twitter. And I previously thought of both places as being just full of self-inflated narcissists, and in a way they very much still are. But I have really curated my Twitter to just be following thought leaders in areas that I am trying to grow. So I follow a lot of business founders and a lot of creative entrepreneurs. So I am constantly seeing what they're talking about in regards to self-improvement and better business and better ideas and all of that stuff. So I have really enjoyed that. I also am on Twitter at Mariah Sautel if you want to come and see. I'm just kind of sharing also my own thoughts on creativity and all of that. Right now I'm just tweeting into a void, but it's also a good way for me to be thinking about how to share my own ideas in a more succinct way. So it's fine that it's just going into a void because it's at least helping me be a better communicator. And then LinkedIn, I believe, is just foundational for networking in the creative world. So I'm spending more time posting about my work on there and also connecting with other thought leaders. So I have a lot of limits on both of these for the amount of time that I let myself be on them. But I think that whereas Instagram has really just become a way to scroll and then feel bad about my work, this is a way to be engaging with thoughts and less images, and I am just finding it more beneficial. And then also, I am reading more things like Paris Review, Architectural Digest, just spending more time reading in the architecture and design world and writing world, and letting myself be creatively inspired by voices in those worlds less than the photography world in particular. I just find that separation to be helpful. So four is my journaling habit. And I had kind of an inconsistent journaling practice this past year, but the times that I did do it, I found it very helpful. I have been carrying a notebook with me everywhere for jotting down ideas, but I have also wanted to have a more consistent journaling practice for writing down what I'm grateful for and just kind of organizing the mess in my own mind. So I have kind of my own journaling template that I follow. Just writing down what I'm grateful for, a few things, and then what I want to be that day, who I'm trying to become. So maybe I'll write down that I want to be generous that day, or I want to be creatively energetic, whatever it is that I'm really wanting to embody and to work on being better at. And I repeat myself a lot with the types of things that I say that I want to be, but I do try to force myself to come up with new ways of communicating that to myself and new ways of thinking about expanding who I am and who I'm trying to become. And then I'll write down any thoughts on what I can do in regards to what I'm working on that day to just go the extra mile. And then I give myself space to do kind of a morning pages format. And this is from a book called The Artist's Way. And morning pages is basically just like stream of consciousness for 3 hours. Three pages. You just get all of the disorganized mess out of your mind onto the page so that it's not bouncing around in your head. But I do this for about a page, just kind of stream of consciousness, write down whatever. And sometimes I have something that I've been thinking about that I just want to explore, so I'll just do it like that. And if I don't have an agenda for it, then I just do stream of consciousness. So it's pretty simple. It's just kind of what I'm grateful for, what I want to be that day, anything I can do to go above and beyond with the things that I have ahead of me. And sometimes, just a note in regards to that, if I don't have a specific thing that I'm working on, I'll maybe write something out like, I'm going to buy a stranger coffee today. If there isn't like a specific project that I'm thinking about that I can really go above and beyond on, I'll just think about what I can do to go above and beyond as just a human in my everyday life. And then it's just kind of the morning pages for a page. And I find this really helpful for being a better communicator, being more focused for the day, spending a little more time, being grateful does so much to get my mindset right for the day. And I find writing to be one of the best things you can do to be a better thinker. And it just helps you kind of get control of your own ideas and to be thinking a little deeper. And I am excited to see just how much is going to come from doing this more consistently in my own life. So the next thing I'm doing is approaching my work with a scientific mindset. A lot of times creatives are very close to their work. It's a lot of killing your darlings in a way, and getting really too attached to things and taking failure very personally and getting really defeated. But I want to view my failures and the things that don't work in my projects and in my businesses as just, oh, that didn't work. We were looking to see if something worked or didn't work. That didn't work, so now we can move forward with the next step. We just pivot and we move in the next direction. In the same way that you approach a science experiment, with looking to see what works and what doesn't, being thankful for failures because they allow you to draw a conclusion about something and pivot to the next step in the process. So I want to be thankful for my failures. I want to use them as a chance to choose a new direction and grow. I want to use them as a chance to push myself more creatively. I want to use them as a way to learn and to go deeper into what is basically just creative experiments. So I am really trying to detach myself and not take my meaning from having a successful project, and also to view a failure as a success because it is a chance to learn and grow and maybe move in a creative direction that I wouldn't have initially chosen. And the last is changing my language. I think that language on a bad day matters. The way we talk about ourselves really matters. So when I say language on a bad day, I mean a day where things aren't going well, or you feel tired, or things just aren't working quite as you wanted to on a project. This goes along with the scientific mindset. It's not saying this is a crappy day, things aren't going well, this is a bad day, weather's really bad. It's saying this is a great chance to learn something. Today was a great day full of learning. And this might sound silly or hokey, but I think that the way that we talk about ourselves, the way we talk about our experiences, this dialogue that we have with our lives really has a big impact on us, on our ability to be effective creatives, on our ability to be generous humans, on our ability to think bigger and better and come up with new ideas. If we're constantly looking at things as a defeat, or talking about how we can't do something, or we're being pessimistic, that has a really big impact on what we can do. So looking at circumstances and constantly having a language of talking about them optimistically, always seeing the glass half full, always having kind of that Pollyanna attitude about things is really important to me. And it's something that I am forcing myself to take into the year in every way possible. Every time that there is rain or snow, I am not saying, oh, the weather's bad today. I'm saying, what a beautiful rainy day. What a beautiful snowy day. What a great day to feel cozy. What a great day for introspection. What a great day to go run around in the snow for a little bit and maybe take a break from just the ordinary day to day. I just want to develop a real habit of optimism, and I think that's going to serve me well and serve my work well. So, language on a bad day. How can you have better language on a bad day? How can you make yourself more optimistic and really look at the challenges that come your way, not as defeats, but as chances to learn and grow and just be a better, more consistent you? I realize that might sound cheesy, but I'm hoping that some of you will try it and will find that it's really beneficial and makes a big impact in who you are and in who you are to the people around you. So that is my list. I'll go down it briefly again. Long walks with no distractions, taking time to be alone with my own thoughts, reading more, both fiction and nonfiction, changing up my media, carrying a notebook and having a consistent journaling habit, approaching my work with a scientific mindset and being thankful for failures because they're a sign of a conclusion and a chance to find a new direction and grow, and then changing my language, specifically the way that I talk about bad days and the way I talk about myself and my circumstances on a bad day. So I'm excited to see what this does for my creativity in the new year, and I hope that you guys try some of these. Also, DM me, comment on Instagram, whatever, and let me know kind of what things you're taking into the new year to help you do better work. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again, even after our break. It's been lovely to quote unquote catch up with you. If you could please, please, please rate to review and subscribe, specifically review the show. I really want to be able to meet more creatives in the new year and get better guests on the show, better guests than me just talking to myself. And a big way to do that is to have more reviews for the show. So if you could please just quickly leave a review wherever you listen, that would be really great. I will see you back soon with a new episode. And until then, keep creating.